Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Monday, January 7th. It is National Championship Football Monday, and we are down to the final two teams. Most of the two teams, so everybody thought they were going to be back in the before the season started. And we've got Jonathan joining us once again. JB, how are we?
Good evening, Brandon Reed from Crossroads Sports listeners. How we doing?
We are good. As I was just welcoming everybody, I said welcome to Championship Monday. Clemson and Bama tonight.
Yeah, the two best down to the two best teams. After I hope we haven't regurgitated. Hopefully that's not a regurgitation, but yeah, we're down to the two best teams in college football. And yeah, it's not even when you think about it now, it's not even close, you know. But it's going to be an exciting game. I don't see a blowout, and you want to get my prediction right now, but yeah, it's going to be an exciting game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to college football here in a little bit. We are time constrained tonight. We want to make sure we're off the air by the time 8 o'clock starts for the game, as well as it's Raw. Raw's a big Raw tonight. It's a big Raw, and I'm going to get it out of you by the end of the show.
Absolutely.
Before we start anything, I've got to do the breaking news sounder already. We're starting the night off with some breaking news. Breaking news out of the world of the NFL. ESPN's Adam Schefter has reported one head coaching position has been filled. The Green Bay Packers have hired the Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur as their new head coach. So Packers get LaFleur. LaFleur was at Notre Dame for a little bit. I think the more interesting thing is that Mariota now is going to go under his fourth offensive coordinator in 5 years. So, sucks for him. And the Titans helps the Colts out. But, so not a big name going to Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Kind of shocking. I know Josh McDaniels, his name was rumored there as a high note, as well as some others. But, Matt LaFleur going to
Daniels' name might be a little dirt in these streets right now, man. He might have to sit in New England for a little bit longer if he wants to do anything. Like, I don't know. Nobody trusts that too much anymore.
Yeah.
Sounds like a solid hire. You know, somebody, first we'll see how Aaron Rodgers' relationship gets bridged and continues to build. But, shocking news.
Yeah, already Rob Dombowski and Adam Schefter both reported it. Now, going to AFC, NFC, the NFL playoff wildcard game this past weekend. They were wild, I guess, if you want to call them like that. First start out with our own team here, Indianapolis Colts. 21-7 victory over the Texans. They started out 21-0 halfway through the first half.
Kudos to Brandon Reeve. You kind of called it. You said it wasn't going to be close.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I said they come in and stomp them.
Yeah, but I wasn't expecting that. Coach offense kind of sputtered in the second half, but they kind of basically the coach controlled the game for the most part.
Yeah. Before we continue to Colts, I actually did get a notification from Ian Rappaport, ESPN, with the Packers signing LaFleur. Josh McDaniels will likely stay with the New England Patriots next season after the Packers job got filled. That was the one job he wanted. He didn't get it. He will stay in New England. Oh, darn, right? Anyways, these Indianapolis Colts, blowout city. T.Y. Hilton wearing the clown mask into the game. He owns that place. He was never wrong there. Ebron gets a touchdown. The running game just, I kept thinking, is this the type of game? And I texted you, is this the type of game that Bill O'Brien gets fired for? Because that was just god awful.
Well, see, the thing about it is, you can't be judged on one. Well, he won't be. Can't be judged on one playoff game. Because it kind of all boiled down to, we can blame Bill O'Brien, but the players still had to play the game, and some mistakes were made from the quarterback standpoint, and it seemingly he had issues. Just like it's kind of, you know, it was issues all aboard with first time quarterback, seemingly, including Trubisky, including him. You know what I mean? Including Lamar Jackson, first time playoff quarterback is going to lose it. But I think it was kind of. I think that's what it kind of. I would attribute it to those factors. Bradley did enough. I mean, I'm sorry, O'Brien did enough to keep his job, believe it or not.
For one more year. One more year.
Yeah, for one more year. For one more year. But that, isn't that Texas job always for most of the stuff?
It is. I mean,
you know what I mean?
Well, the last 20 years, almost has been Peyton.
They have expectations. That's what you expect out of the Texans organization. They do have expectations, but you know, J.J. Watt is not getting any younger.
No, he is not. It was a thumping. If you took my advice on the Colts money line and the spread, you came out winners on both of those. I liked the style of offense the Colts had. I would have liked if they would have scored some points in the second half. That was a little upsetting to me, but game plan. It could have been game plan stricken too. But, I mean, all this Andrew Luck talk we had on week four of the shoulder and in the offseason about him throwing, that's all put to bed, and these Colts are rolling. Next up, Kansas City.
Hottest team in the NFL.
Absolutely. Colts, hottest team in the NFL. Nobody wants to play them. But the Kansas City Chiefs got to play them. And, John, what's your thoughts on that game in Kansas City this Saturday?
Man, you'd wish it was like the, you know, AFC Championship game instead of like the semifinal. The issue with when the Chiefs suspended Kareem Hunt, that's one of their bullets they took out of their gun. So, that kind of made sense more so on Mahomes. And, you know, Mahomes, for the most part, is still an MVP of the league, in my eyes, whether the Colts beat them or not. But the Colts cannot have, like, letdowns in the third and fourth quarter where they don't score.
Right.
So if the Colts get up in this game, the Colts is very capable. I know people, you know, Brent, I heard a lot of whiny Colts fans still. Whiners, dude. The defense, you know, it gets pressure, and because the defense does, it's not always one guy or two guys to get the sack or, you know, force the fumble or whatever, they still want a guy. I'm like, dude, the system, it's the system. So, like, believe in the system. You know what I mean? Don't necessarily believe that, you know, the next white screen is going to be out there, even though it might be. You know what I mean? We'll see, right?
Right.
White Colts fans are worried about the individual defense. And, you know, again, the Chiefs are going to give up points. They do. You just got to make sure that when they don't score, you score, right? I know, you know, it's easier said than done, but the Colts cannot have issues down the line where they get in the red zone or where they don't convert, you know what I'm saying, because the Chiefs can score at a high rate, as we all know. At a
right.
very high rate. So,
absolutely.
But
I almost think, though, I think the Chiefs have peaked. In my opinion, they've peaked.
Wow. Well, we're going to see.
I mean, they've lost three of their last five games.
It's not
going to
be easy.
They've lost.
It's not going to be easy contest for them either.
Right.
They've finally played a team that they can be up on them, and that's something they don't – that's not an advantage they have. I don't even really think they have the advantage at the special teams position either. Offensively, I don't – like the Colts can't – like I said, the Colts can't get behind. They can't because the Chiefs – it won't be to our advantage if we get behind, you know. So I would go into it with that thought process.
Yeah, I believe I think what Reich's going to do and kind of what they did this past – Saturday in the game was they even said during their telecast they have to run the ball and they have to run it well. And I think besides running the ball well with that, they also have to keep, if they're running the ball well and they're running the ball, they're keeping Mahomes off the field. And that there is part of winning it. So I think the run game is going to be a strong suit again for the Colts this Saturday.
Well, it looked real strong this past weekend. It looked real strong this past weekend.
So hopefully they'll be able to keep it going.
Yeah.
Prediction time.
Go ahead.
Chiefs are favored by 6 points in Saturday's game. Getting about 40 degree temperature, 48 degrees, partly cloudy in Kansas City. I did my bracket ahead of time, and I've been posting it and keeping everybody a follow on Twitter and on the Facebook page. And 3 for 4 first night or opening weekend, so I'm seeing the board perfectly. I'm going to go Kansas City 37.
Oh, wow.
Indianapolis 33. 37-33 Chiefs.
Man. Look.
You sound shocked.
No, I don't. You never pick a coach.
I just picked them this last week.
If Andrew Luck, well, you did. I'll take that back. If Andrew Luck can't control the turnovers that he can control. If we can control our offensive turnovers that the Colts are prone to have, and he being
right.
the primary person that is responsible. Sometimes running backs fumble too, and whatnot. But that will be determined. That will be how this game goes by. We will get to the quarterback. We will cause havoc with our defense. I do believe. Not saying the tight ends on the Kansas City Chiefs are soft, but they get rattled. They do. I watch them in games get rattled, and that's why this part of the reason why they didn't win last year. Hell, Mahomes was on the sideline watching. Damn tight end didn't show up. Supposed to show up, but didn't. Anyway, I'll let whoever check them stats. But I'm telling you, they didn't show up last year. And again, Kansas City got a lot to prove too now. So I'm going with the Colts though, and I believe Andrew Luck doesn't make the mistakes that he's prone to make.
Colts.
We have a date. With Foxborough. Because we know the Chargers don't melt. We all know the Chargers don't melt. We all know that.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, you're going Colts. I'm going to go Kansas City. Looking at the next game that was played in the AFC this past weekend, Ravens and Chargers. Chargers dominated that game until late. Ravens did come back, had a chance. But Los Angeles wins. They move on to New England. Lamar Jackson played terribly for 3 quarters, stepped it up in the fourth.
For a rookie quarterback. I put that to asterisk by it, but he is still, as leader of the team, he's a quarterback-driven league, right? He had the worst half in, I don't want to say playoff history, but probably in the last 3 to 5 years, from a stat-wise. Kind of woke up,
and,
like you said, around the third.
And it was a home game.
Yeah, and Crabtree, hell, I didn't know. I thought Crabtree got retired years ago. But Crabtree actually got two touchdowns in this game. I know there was some talk. I wasn't for it about putting Flacco in. Some ghost account said made up some ridiculous thing about Joe Flacco went over to Lamar Jackson and he made him cry. Definitely don't believe that. he would have won the game had they put him in, but I definitely don't believe that. But this ain't what we're getting ready to watch later on tonight. You cannot make a quarterback decision like that in the middle of the season. You just can't. You have to go with the guy that got you brought you to the dance, and Lamar Jackson brought him to the dance. Unfortunately, he had, again, the worst half that you ever want to have out of a quarterback.
Right.
But nah, they made the right decision, and I do believe Flacco got he'll be playing for a Florida team come next season. But Lamar's gonna be their starter going into next season.
Okay, perfect. Looking ahead next week, Los Angeles. I keep calling them San Diego. Los Angeles traveling to New England. Now, last time they played here, 2007. Chance for the Philip Rivers to redeem himself with him and his 9 kids. What's your thoughts, John? Do they have a shot? I'm going to ask you that question twice.
Now, here's the thing. We all say that Lamar played a bad game, but hell, did they have a pretty game at all?
No.
Till they scored one touchdown, I'm like, man, it's going to be a field goal affair. You know, but they do. Here's the thing. The Chargers do actually have what you need to have to get to the Super Bowl, Brandon. They do, from a statistic. I don't have them in front of me, sorry, but they do. They have a great special teams. They have a pretty good defense. And we all know that their offense is going to be pretty good because he plays pretty – you know, he's not – you know, I don't want to put him in the Hall of Fame right now, but he's a Hall of Famer. You know what I'm saying? Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. But they shrink in the moments when they play against New England.
Yeah.
So they have all the tools to get to the title, though. But it'll be cool.
If they can get close, after Brady.
It'll be close. It'll be close, Brandon. But they're not good at close games. They're not, and I have to go with the Patriots.
Okay. we're going to ask for my pick here. I like what I'm looking at here on paper with the Chargers going into Foxborough.
Yep.
And what kind of defense this team did. They give Lamar Jackson problems. They gave Ben problems. They've given quarterbacks – the Chargers are good this year. They're very talented. If it wasn't for Kansas City – you know, this could very easily be played out in Los Angeles. I can sit here and tell you right now, looking at this, if I'm going to make a pick out of my gut, I'm going to pick the Los Angeles Chargers to win this game over the Patriots. It's 4.5 is the spread, but I think the Chargers will win this game and go on to the AFC Championship game. And obviously would play either the Colts or the Chiefs. But, here's my but.
All right.
This on Sunday, that's being played in Foxborough, Boston, Northeast. They went all the way back home to Los Angeles. Now they got to fly all the way back to East Coast once again for another 1 o'clock game on a Sunday. The forecast is for 30-degree weather. And a possible 3 to 5 inches of snow. With that being said, New England takes the W, goes the AFC title game.
Yeah.
Philip ain't ready for 3 to 5 inches of snow.
No. I think Bob Kraft got a weather maker.
Isn't that unbelievable? I looked it up today. 3 to 5 inches of snow possible on Sunday in New England.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up on Google, see if he got a satellite. And if you got a weather maker, man, I'm dead serious, man. That is very fortuitous for the New England.
Yeah.
Patriots.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking on the NFC side of the bracket, we've got, let's first go to the Saturday night's game, the Seattle Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas eked one out. You picked the Seattle. My God, Seattle had the worst game plan of all until they finally let Russell Wilson throw the ball. It was run, 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 punt.
Yeah.
He threw 21 passes in the fourth quarter, and that's where they made their march. I don't get it.
I don't get Seattle's plan either. I was shocked. I think Troy Aikman was shocked too that they won, because he actually said some good things about the Dallas Cowboys, and he's been real critical of them. But Dallas has, again, paved their way to making doubters believers. You know, a lot of wheels Prescott used. You know what I mean? That game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dangerous.
But so like I don't think a lot of DC, I don't think they've planned for it. They
yeah.
should have, but they haven't seen it in quite a while. So now he's kind of switched gears, man. It's like, wow. So it makes Dallas real interesting when he can become a dual threat.
Yeah. How about Alan Hearns with the broken foot? That was disgusting.
His name, man. When they say something, anything, first thing that they say anything broken, when somebody on the TV mentions it, I automatically turn the channel. I'm not watching that.
Come on, JB. Come on,
I'm
man.
Not, no
second, how about Zeke Elliott? Number one, the guy, I don't know. I don't know if I'm just put off by his hair. He has that helmet on, his damn hair sticking out through the ear holes, and I think we're due for some fumbles. And I think it very well could happen this weekend. They go to Los Angeles.
He's been looking like his old self too. I mean, where he's not distracted. He comes off a little goofy to me. Just a little bit goofy, but if you would be try to be entertaining and goofy too, if you wore a Dallas Cowboy uniform, I think this kind of goes with the territory.
Yeah. Okay. So the Cowboys are going to travel to Los Angeles, take on the Rams, the 2 seed. Rams are favored by 7 points in this game. I think Los Angeles puts it to the Cowboys. Los Angeles Rams move on to the NFC Championship.
Man, I hope this has got. I hope this really is a high scoring game. I really do. That'll make it very entertaining because this is a big stage. You know, it's Los Angeles. It's the Dallas Cowboys. I know Jerry Jones will be there. Guess what, Brandon? It's probably going to be all kind of, you know, the stars are going to get up. I think so. There's going to be a few stars to get up early to watch this game. Or is it late? Is it a late game?
I don't know. I will look it up while you're still talking.
I bet if it's a late game, there's going to be a lot of stars there. I guarantee you. If it's a late game. If it's an early game, you know, Hollywood don't really like that.
LeBron James will be there. I mean...
Yeah, because he's still wrestling for sure.
Yeah, he'll be drinking his wine on the way there.
Will he be wearing a Dallas Cowboys uniform? Okay, you know, he's a Cowboys fan. Will he be rocking that, or will he be rolling with the Rams?
Cowboys and Rams is the Saturday night game at 8:15 Saturday night after the Colts.
That's Saturday night? Oh, my God. It closes it down Saturday night?
Yep. Yeah.
That's big time. That's prime time. There's
yeah.
Hollywood people out tonight.
And they're on the stage. National stage, NBC or a Fox. You're going to have Aikman out there with Joe Buck.
Well, I got to go with the Rams, man, but it's going to be some Hollywood. It's going to be like the Oscars.
All right, we've got the Oscars. We got the Rams. All right, and then the final one. Yes, last night's game to close it out. Eagles and Bears. I'm going to put you center stage on this one.
Man.
That's about right.
You know, Indiana is broken into factions where everybody's not necessarily a Colts fan. And when you meet these factions of people as a Colts fan, you're kind of turned off by it. You know what I'm saying? But because, you know, Brandon, there's open migration everywhere. You're not necessarily from Indianapolis. You came from West Lafayette, correct?
Uh-huh.
Well, a lot of region people, they grow up liking, that's LaPorte, that's Gary, you know what I mean, that's Maryville. They grow up liking the Bears because that's you know, proximity. You know what I mean? So
right.
They don't necessarily like. So when they come here, so, you know, for whatever, either you know, for jobs or whatever, or family moved here, whatever, got married, whatever, you know what I'm saying? There's no way you could live in this city. Sorry, Brandon. If you lived in this city before, you know, more than 5 to 10 years, not like the Colts, especially after the Peyton Manning era. Oh, my God. You know what I mean? Who wouldn't love that melodrama, drama of winning championships, and he comes back, blah, 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 blah. We know the story of Peyton Manning. Now we have Andrew Luck, and this is an even more inspiring story. You know what I mean? So, with all that being said, sometimes you meet people that cheer for both teams, but they really you know, cheer for their home team, which is the Chicago Bears. So you feel for them a little bit when their team loses, because they had a lot of hopes and dreams this year. That defense, Brandon, was Super Bowl caliber special. Okay? Their quarterback actually matured over the season. He matured. He didn't, you know, he still had some quarterback, you know, rookie quarterback, made some mistakes, first time playoff game moments, but he still played a game. He didn't put the team in losing position. How about that? Okay?
Right.
But you have to have a team, unfortunately, Chicago Bears fans, that has to be special on offense, defense, and special teams. And the Bears special team, well, the offense, like the tight ends, one's hurt, and another one, they're dealing with a backup. Where's the explosiveness? Every good quarterback has a safety blanket, right, or somebody they go to. Andrew Luck got two guys he throws to, right, when he needs a touchdown or he needs somebody to get open. So I'm just comparing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who does Trubisky have to throw to? There's a caliber. I know there's nothing. You can't think of anybody, right? But
right.
The special teams is horrible. Let's get to the point. The special teams was horrible, and it cost them the game. And the kid owned up to it, right? I don't know if it'd be. I doubt if he'd be back. I'm not. He'd probably be on another team. He just had the worst. He had the worst game of his life. Because he hit the first one, and I was like, dude, this game is over. You know what I mean? But you have to be, in order to proceed in playoffs, in the NFL playoffs, and proceed to the Super Bowl, and to possibly win the Super Bowl, you have to be special in all three facets of football, offense, defense, and special teams. And if you're lacking in one of those, you ain't gonna. It's going to hinder you from going further, and that's why Chicago Bears are no longer participants.
Oof. My condolences, Brandon Brantley, Mitchell Larry.
Man, I had to console a lot of – I know Brandon Brantley consoled him. And Mitchell Larry, yeah. I know a lot of Bears fans, Jeff Condon, the Best Buy guy. Yeah, I know a lot of Bears fans. But sorry. To me, it's God bless the Colts and nobody else.
They had their chance to get rid of their kicker, and they didn't. So those type of things come back on when it comes playoff time.
The good thing is, like, a lot of times, because people spend time when their team, but when they're Chicago, Indiana transplants, you know, Indianapolis transplants, I'm talking about that. When their team, like the Bears, goes out, like then they start cheering for the Colts. So now the Colts probably about to get a little upswing in fans for this weekend anyway.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So with that said, the Eagles, Nick Foles, rolling with this team. They go to New Orleans. They take on Drew Brees and those Saints. Who do you got? I got two questions for you. First, who do you got?
How can you bet against Nick Foles? I can't believe it. He must have got a four-leaf clover in his back pocket or something.
I took the Eagles, and you called me crazy last week.
Because I thought the Bears was going to make it. They choked, man. Sorry. I pat them on the back when I see them, but they choked. Special teams choke, man. And the offense needs a little bit of a, you know, overhaul or something. I need some new tires, basically. That's what I'm trying to say. Because the old ones are terrible.
So but, you might be going against the number one seed Saints.
And Nick, we're talking about Nick Foles. This man is becoming a legend before our eyes. He won a Super Bowl for Philadelphia. These people are talking about trading the back, Carson Wentz. That's what they're talking about in these NFL streets. I can't even believe it.
He threw seven touchdowns in a game once.
I mean, I remember we talked about it a couple weeks ago, but that was just, you know, pie in the sky. Now it's like reality. Like, they have to kind of address this man's pay next year.
Oh, yeah.
In the offseason, right? And he's playing like it. He didn't have the best game of his life either. But because he had the one red zone interception. But like when they have to go, man, he's clutch, dude. He's clutch. Is he not? Or
he, oh, yeah.
He makes the team feel better about themselves. And they become, they believe, man, it's crazy. So
who you got?
I got to go with Nick Foles, man. He's got a four-leaf clover in his back pocket, and they're going to win the game.
Wow. Okay. I'm going with who I picked before
the
season started, and I said the Saints.
Best defense in the NFL. The Saints ain't got a defense like the Bears. They just beat the best defense in the NFL.
Yeah, but they also got a – they ain't faced a better offense like the Saints either. So, last time, John, I don't know if you might remember Week 11. It's been a few – been a while, and I know you're getting old, but that was a 48-7 thumping.
That wasn't with Nick Foles.
It could have been with Peyton Manning.
Well, nobody's there. Listen. You can ask me. Tom Brady could be in my face with his 5 championship rings and Bill Belichick could be right next time, and they could tell me that Peyton Manning is better than Tom Brady. I'll say it with a straight face. But
yeah.
Nick Foles is not Peyton Manning. Everybody got their own story. Everybody got their own lane. But this dude's doing something special, so. I'm thinking they're going to beat the Saints.
Sorry, I got sidetracked for a minute. I got a notification. This has a little bit to do with sports, a little bit not, but this country it's just messed up, my friend. The article I'm reading, I don't even know if I should really do it any justice because I had to give this guy any time of day. But the headline of this article, John, Florida man arrested for threatening Tyler Trent's mother on Facebook at the Celebration of Life services. I don't get it. People are idiots in this world. I don't know. This is why I love sports, because you can detach from the real world for a bit. And all you got to worry about is the X's and O's. Now, unless you're a Bears fan, some of those fans have taken it very, very serious. life and death with the Bears. But, man, just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. Sorry, well, that sidetracked for me. I couldn't believe what I was reading. I've picked the Saints. I picked them before the season started. They're going to roll. It's going to be Saints and Rams, an NFC title game. We're going to have a rematch, and it's what everybody wants. Nobody wants the Eagles in the NFC championship. So, yeah, absolutely. The Colts defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, interviewed with the Browns on Sunday for the head coaching position. There are a few teams that are looking to get him in. I'd hate to see the Colts lose their defensive coordinator already. But usually that's what happens when you're a good team and you got the good guy.
Yeah, that's going to suck if they lose him. But hopefully he's understudy, you know what I'm saying? Colts is in good shape. We're in good shape. Hopefully this doesn't come as like a distraction though, with the team.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about a team that's not sitting pretty. And we touched on this last week a little bit. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, Antonio Brown. I know we touched on it. Since we talked last, words came out about – the mores came out about what happened the week of Brown not playing with Tomlin. And he skipped the MRI. And then he didn't notify anybody over the weekend. And then his agent calls Tomlin and says, hey, my client's ready to play on Sunday. Tomlin says, well, hey, that's not how this goes. And you're not playing. He shows up, not wearing any team gear, wearing a meek jacket, and then leaves at halftime. And now they're looking for trades. Or is he not looking for trades? John, I put a Facebook rant on the other day. I am embarrassed with this franchise right now, as to be a fan of this franchise, for what we're going through. Now, I know there's light at the end of the tunnel, but when you're losing your star running back, you lose your star wide receiver. I don't know. I really don't know. And I've told so many people have asked me in the last week or so about it. I'm curious as to what your thoughts are.
Man, I kind of lost it when I heard the agent called the coach talking about the availability of the player. I couldn't believe it. Is this
grown man?
They have to all look themselves in the mirror and figure out, is this worth going through? But we all have to have a conversation. And I know these guys, you know, they were talking that they were lamenting on local radio today about the Colts having a team meeting where everybody looked at one another and said, hey, man, we're 1-5. Let's try to dig ourselves out of this ditch. All teams go through this. But, you know, how the Colts basically shifted it. Went from playing poorly to playing, the hottest team in the NFL, right?
Uh-huh.
Brandon, all teams go through this, right? But it's the best. The better you can make up your mistakes. You know what I mean? So, they gotta figure out. They gotta figure, dude. Because
I know you told me, kumbaya.
They can't cut him. They can't trade him. It's not financially responsible to do either. Okay. Mm-hmm. The Le'Veon Bell situation, again, I would be like anybody on the open market, buyer beware. Any NFL guy trying to cash out, buyer beware. Okay. You really want wideouts and running backs, or hell, even quarterbacks, hungry and trying to prove something. You know what I mean? Not trying to cash out or trying to get a big time contract because he wants to be the number one paid person on the team. So again, buyer beware, because again, we're talking about running back / I get it, he's wide receiver, but we're going to pay the running back that much. How did it work for the Tennessee when they had Chris Johnson?
Ooh, or
right?
DeMarco Murray?
How did it work for them when he demanded, you know what I'm saying, top dollar, and it never did pan out. He had a great season individually, but never panned out, right? So, buyer beware. But they need to figure out, because Thomas ain't going nowhere. Ben ain't going nowhere, at least not this year, either one of those two. And, again, if they were to trade him, they're going to have to pay him $10 million, which hits the cap, which, you know, messes up other things if they were trying to improve the team.
Right.
They're going to get some compensatory, that word, they asked me to spell it. They're going to get some compensatory picks for losing Bell because of the contract and all that old crap. They get some compensatory picks in the draft, I think. That's why. But, you know, I don't know.
And you
it's
told me
matter.
The other day.
It's not
you
a
told
matter.
Me
it's not a
they need to go kumbaya.
They need to go to a men's retreat, man, and have a great kumbaya. That's what they need to do. Have it like a beer, you know. You have a beer summit or something like that. But no, in all seriousness, they need this. That's what they need to do, because they need one another. As much dysfunction goes on, they kind of need one another.
Yeah.
But is Brown gonna go to? He's gonna go to the Patriots? Why do receivers seemingly go there and get exposed? Don't they?
Oh yeah. Well, anywhere they lose, they.
Wide receivers that don't necessarily fit in that system, well, except for like Randy Moss, right? And he was, you know, previously talented.
Right.
So wide receivers go there and get exposed. Like, hey, man, I don't think you played Belichick's system. It was like, however that system, you know, say, of course, they said talent. But where's
yeah.
he going?
I think Josh
still,
Gordon
he,
did well.
He still seemingly wants to win. I'm talking about Brown. What I hear is, I don't get no credit around here. He's not saying I'm overpaid. I'm underpaid. He's saying I don't get no credit around here. And because he's this dude, diva comes with the position. It does. I don't know. I don't necessarily remember Jerry Rice being a diva wide out, right? But diva comes with that position. Think of Chris Carter. Think of Randy Moss. Think of T.O. They all want the star to be on them.
Chad Johnson.
Right. Fill in the blank. You know what I mean? So – he just doesn't think he gets enough credit. He doesn't. That's why he whined about not getting the award.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, hey man, he feels hurt though, Brandon. Think about it. He likes being a Pittsburgh Steeler. He does.
Right.
That's how I look at it. He's just being a little bitty bratty about it.
I don't know, John.
I don't know
what's going to happen. My team is in shambles currently as we speak. So we'll see.
He ain't going there. He don't want that drama down there.
We've got plenty of time to talk about the continued Antonio Brown talk here in the next couple of months.
So we'll continue his talk.
Where was I going to go next? I was going to talk. Let's talk tonight. Let's talk the college football national championship. Bama, Clemson, fourth time in a row these two teams are going to play. Bama won the first one, and then Clemson won their national title with Deshaun Watson. And then Bama beat them 2 years ago in the – or no, last year in the semifinal. I think it was the Sugar Bowl. And then this year we're back in the national title picture again. Tua is going to play. I see him warming up on the field right now as we speak. Current line is Bama -4.5, over under a 57. I've got Bama in this game to win it. Bama with the -4.5. I think the over is going to hit as well. This is the best Alabama passing unit in the last 6 or 7 years, probably even 10 years. But with the way this passing game is, and the type of defense they can play, yeah, I think it'll be a good game. But I do think this freshman quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, Sunshine, also from River Titans, if you remember him, I think he gets caught up. I think he gets exposed here, possibly by this SEC defense. Give me one second here. Yeah, this SEC defense of Alabama. And one thing I've always learned, John, is to get rich, you don't bet against Nick Saban. And I'm not going to do it tonight. I'm taking Alabama to win this game, another national championship, and just keep churning out these Hawaiian quarterbacks. He's got a family of 300, Tom, that's coming to the game. So you know they're all birthing babies now over there, and it's a big pipeline just going to keep coming to Alabama every year.
Wow. Well, they used to go to Hawaii. with the rainbows.
Yeah.
Man, I want to take Clemson so bad. I really do. I don't like Alabama. I don't like Alabama fans.
Shocker.
I really don't like Nick Saban. He's clearly got the best team. He freaks out sometimes even when they're rolling. But I get it. He wants excellence. He's got an excellent football team. Dabo Sweeney got an excellent football team. Man, talent for talent, this is even, you know what I'm saying? Man, I want to take Clemson so bad, so I will. Clemson.
Ooh, Clemson. In a close one. Okay, interesting. Oh. Obviously, who knows, we always go against each other here, so that's another good one to see. Yeah, I think with this game, I think Alabama's just got the – I think the defensive front of Alabama, and I still think with that Clemson defensive guy missing, suspended again, I just don't – I think Alabama can do things. And you gave Nick Saban another week, and he got to see what Notre Dame could not do. Too many things for me for Nick Saban, and he's the best for a reason. I know you don't like hearing that, but yeah. Roll Tide, roll.
Of course, Roll Tide. Yeah.
Roll Tide.
Trump's gonna lose tonight.
Looking at some quick hitters. We got about 40 minutes left at max right now. Quick hitters from the weekend. Michigan and IU. I didn't get to watch any of the game. I did see some highlights and such. Mm-hmm. Michigan jumped out. Looks like IU did make a little bit of a comeback in the second half, but too much Michigan in the end. IU did fall to number 22 in today's latest college basketball poll.
Yeah, too much Michigan. They have a well-balanced team, offensively and defensively, believe it or not. I think they're prime, quite honestly. If they don't win the Big Ten, which, you know what I'm saying, because be, Michigan State can never be a dogfight, as well as Ohio State. But if they, I got them winning the Big Ten. I got them going to the Final Four again, Brandon, quite honestly.
Oof.
Imagine if Mo Wagner was still there. They'd be heavily favored. But Mo's, you know, out playing in, you know, Southern Cal with LeBron now. And things are different now for Mo. But the Michigan Wolverines are going to the Final Four, I do believe.
Unless they run into a buzzsaw of Zion Williamson. I mean, Duke's still number one.
That story remains to be told. That story remains to be told. Again, I think Michigan got the overall better team than Duke. Duke got the, obviously, the NBA talent that's going to be on our screen, jumping off our screens next year. But I want to talk about the Hoosiers a little bit. Where is the third or fourth banana on this team? Because yesterday it was just Langford and Juwan Howard. That's it.
Juwan Morgan, that's not it. Juwan Howard.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you. Damn. Yeah, Jamar Morgan.
Yeah, Finnessy was nowhere.
He looked like Rodney dude, he looked like Rodney Rogers last night.
I ain't heard that name in a hot minute.
That kid got a nice, you know, in and out game. Got a great jump shot. Got a, you know, nice post game. And he's kind of like under, kind of like, you know, 6'7", 6'8", kind of like Rodney Rogers, who I would compare him to. Langford got a, you know, more and more I watch Langford offensively. With IU, he totally, anytime, you know, they run the offense for him or through him, he's all for it. Dude's got like, man, I know I'm going to get in trouble if I say this, so I'm going to say it anyway. He's got a good, his first step kind of reminds me of Kobe when he was, you know, a youngster. I know, I'm not saying he's going to be Kobe. I'm just saying, he works the side of the court and it reminds me of Kobe Bryant when he gets like a layup. Okay, now again, he's got potential, and next he shouldn't be no more than less than a top 10 pick. He won't be 1 through 4 in this NBA draft, but he will be 5 through 10 for sure. And it'll be somebody that whatever team drafts him, you'll have to kind of wait for. But he's not totally engaged in IU. Period. Like he's clearly an NBA level talent. But he doesn't play NBA level talent on defense. Like he's not there to, he ain't there grabbing rebounds. He ain't there blocking shots. He ain't there, you know, doing that other work that's going to be required of him, even at the small four position or shooting guard position that he's going to have to play in NBA. He's not doing that for IU. You know what I'm saying? He's not engaged. He's not. So they got him for a year. But, again, they don't have a third guy. They don't. Past IU teams, I don't want to bring up Green. I know people, you know, either on one side of IU fans, or you on one side of Green, either you like him, you respect what he did, or you're still critical of him because you still wanted Steve Alford to be here, and they never did do that.
Yeah.
I kind of
follow here's my thing, John. They, with IU even, they yeah, they didn't have a third, but I don't think that's in general. I think just for that game, I mean, you had your third leading scorer would be Robert Finney, and the guy didn't even play. He was hurt. So
He's a freshman and we're making excuses. This is IU. It used to be big time for them to play Michigan, and now it's kinda okay that they try to come back and make the game competitive. That's not the IU. That's not the IU that I grew up. IU versus Michigan. I mean, Michigan is still good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the IU. But they used to be somewhat of almost a necessary rivalry. But you saw me with, somewhat of a big game. It mattered. And they made a comeback. Okay, but they ain't win. This is a new IU, bro. And that's what we're going at. And that's what we're saying.
The Hoosiers are fine. Everybody needs a. They've got Maryland next, and then Nebraska, and then they make a trip up to West Lafayette, which will be a great game, I think. I will be at that one.
Will you? Nebraska ain't no chumps this year either now.
No, they're not. They had a good win this weekend.
These are not.
They had a real good win.
The Big Ten schedule is not no cupcake schedule, so.
I'll be heading up to West Lafayette seeing this Purdue-Indiana game. I'm a little curious if the Purdue bigs are going to be able to handle Juwan Morgan, not Juwan Howard. I don't know if I got to get this team pepped up or not, but between you and me, you know, I hope Brandon Brantley's got these bigs able to stop this Juwan Morgan because
why don't this game matter no more like it used to?
It does.
Like nationally, it used to matter. People used to go crazy.
Well, they both haven't been good at the same time. Both of them haven't been ranked at the same time in a long time. That's the problem.
Okay.
And you lost your I think you lost your profile, big profile coaches that used to make it. Archie Miller, I hate to say it, fans. Archie Miller is not one of those that's going to be one or two first segment on ESPN, like a Gene Katie, like a Bob Knight, like a Tom Crean. ESPN loved Tom Crean. I mean, they brought him in as an analyst.
Right.
They pick and choose their guy. Archie's not their guy for that. But I think if they can get both these teams can get ranked again, which is going to be a down year for the Boilers. Sorry, Brennan, but I think it's going to be a down year for them, and it's going to be a tough one for them to win. I think they can split with IU here in a couple weeks. But we need our boy Brantley to get those bigs ready. And I did like what we saw from the backup. I saw the backup. I can't think of his name now for Purdue, number 50. Little baby Swanigan. The kid did well against Iowa. I mean, he had some big boards and putbacks. It's a good touch passing. So we'll see what happens with the Boilers. Speaking of Purdue, they have a big one tomorrow night up there in the state of Michigan as well. They play at number 6, Michigan State. This one could get ugly.
It could get ugly.
That's all I'm going to say. Could get ugly. So, speaking of ugly, there were some ugly comments made over the past week. And by a certain star player, superstar player, out in Los Angeles, made on one of his barbershop shows. LeBron James said that after that 2016 championship win with Cleveland over Golden State, that made him the GOAT, the greatest of all time. I got to ask you, what's your thoughts?
Man, we live in a world. No, I'm not going to start that. what's he supposed to say? I'm second?
I don't think he says anything at all.
He never says I'm better than Michael Jordan. He never says I'm better than Larry Bird. He never says I'm better than Tim Duncan. He just says I'm the best basketball player. And what's kind of, you know, from a psyche standpoint for me is that the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James, right, they lost the championship last year. But all programming or whatever, when it comes on, or when you turn on TV, NBA, you got LeBron James is the face of the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So he lost, right? He lost, but he's still the face of the league. Okay, all right, I know, it's kind of kooky, but that's just how good he is. Like, when you watch him, like, dude, you're amazed by it, right? So what's he supposed to say, Brandon? I'm second? Or how are you supposed to feel about yourself when camera gets in front of you and, you know, all these guys, we all know these guys are all super humble. That's sarcasm. They're not humble, right? But, you know, he considers himself to be the greatest basketball player at all. He never said it. I'm better than Michael Jordan. I'm better than, you know, this cat, so on and so forth. Of course, this all trickles down to Twitter handles and Instagrams and Facebooks and everything else and debates about is Michael Jordan, LeBron James, yada, yada, scoop. And then arguments ensue why this basketball player is lesser than Michael Jordan.
Why is Kobe not in that conversation?
Kobe Bryant couldn't leave Smush. Okay, so
easy now. Don't piss off the Kobe likers.
I don't care. I think about Smush Parker years that we had with Kobe Bryant, right? So he had a lesser team, right? He had a lesser team. He booted. He told him get rid of Shaq. They got rid of Shaq. Okay. Well, Shaq got rid of himself too. I don't want to put all the ownership. You know, Shaq had a little bit of that. Shaq, you know what I mean? He didn't want to stay in shape, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And the kid wanted to be like Mike. The kid wanted to be greater than Michael Jordan. And he knew he could get there, but Shaq was being a butt about it. Because Shaq wanted to, like, smell the roses for a little bit, right?
Uh-huh.
So
yep.
They gave Kobe, when you lose Shaq, there's nothing you're going to get back in return. It's never going to be equal value. He's that special. We know this now, right? I knew it. I learned this 100 years ago when Philadelphia traded Barkley to Phoenix, and Phoenix sent back players that I don't even think has ever been assistant coaches on a college team. Okay, that they got traded back. I'm serious. They probably are. I'm just being facetious. But
right.
Point being, you're not gonna ever get back equal value for Shaq. They didn't. Where was those teams at? I'm asked what I asked. That's why I don't put Kobe Bryant over Michael Jordan or even LeBron. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to twist my arms and ask me that question, I don't really like answering it anymore. You know what I mean? Because the thing breaks into errors. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, right?
Yep.
And you can probably count the three-pointers shot on one hand. Right, so
yep.
He did all that. It's a different game. They threw it in inside. You know, Michael Jordan's third, and he played it inside and outside game. So it's a different game. Hell, they're talking about putting the four-pointer in. So in 10 years, when they put the four-pointer in, when LeBron James' son is now creeping up on his dad, it's because he hit, you know, 40-pointers in a year. You know what I'm saying? Instead of, you know, dunking the ball like – or skyhooking the ball like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did. I'm just saying what they're planning, you know what I mean, potentially.
Uh-huh.
And, like, we know defense is different now than it was, you know, how the Golden State Warriors play versus how the Detroit Pistons play. So,
uh-huh.
Okay, Brandon. So I'm a thinking man. I am. So you're going to tell me – so people going to automatically tell me, you know – you want to argue the point, LeBron James. I take it a step further. So you're going to tell me this is the automatic thing people say is you're going to tell me Isaiah Thomas is lesser than Steph Curry? Like, why? Like, dude, both they played in two different eras, two different types of games.
Uh-huh.
It's still basketball, still jump shots, still layups, still dunks, but it's different rules, man. You can't even hand check now. And back then, you could hand check and slap, you know what I mean, whatever it took to get the job done. So don't make the comparisons. That's what I say. But as far as what you feel about yourself, you should always think you're great at your profession. So I'm saying, there's no way.
That was a very grown. That was a very grown up response by you.
Well, I thought about it.
I could tell. That was great. Wow, I was shocked. I was waiting for you just to go all in on LeBron, but no, you did not.
Nah, he's an egomaniac. He's an egomaniac. He is. He's an egomaniac of positivity for the most part, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to things. But he's an egomaniac, and I probably would too if I had a camera stuck in my face since I was the day of the age of 18.
Yeah, I mean, he's the GOAT right now. He's the GOAT right now of this generation.
He has to be considered to be. I get it that he doesn't have a winning record like Michael Jordan, but they threw up that stat last year that he had been, like, if he had went to high school and college, through high school and college, when he started going to the finals, like, it was always him or a LeBron James-led team in the finals. I can't remember. Was it like 8 years or something like that?
Yeah.
8 years straight, a LeBron James-led team. Man, you know what Pacer fans would do to get 3 years in the finals?
Give me two. Shit.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine getting three straight years in the finals and be a Pacers fan? I didn't say you win. Like, this city, you know, this city went nuts when it won a Super Bowl. Imagine if this city could get to a finals and win a final, granted. But I'm saying, you didn't get to the finals.
I'd call in work for a week. I would. My celebration would be a week long. Me and you be hosting. We would be hosting this radio show down on Monument Circle.
You saying if they won. I'm saying if even they just got there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, but you're talking about a LeBron James-led team. And that's what I always thought teams should be like, hey, man, negotiate with the highest. You know what I mean? If he does, shit, you don't know if he don't want to come to Indiana or not. You don't know if he doesn't want to come to Charlotte or not. They never try hard. You know, I don't think.
Yeah.
They just assume he wants to go to L.A., which, I mean, everybody knew that's kind of what we point to. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thoughts on T-Wolves firing a Thibodeau and interested in Hoiberg?
Man, it's kind of – yeah, that's, I hope they're not seriously interested in Hoiberg now, man. Tibbs probably needs to take a step back. I don't think he went to Minnesota and got GM-type presidential powers because his experience in Chicago and how he didn't really have a say in who and how I could play it, or, you know what I mean, that Gar-Hurd, Jim Paxson, you know what I'm saying, kind of screwed, you know what I mean, wanted him to do they he wanted, again, right, your manager tells you to do something, you're supposed to do it, but if your manager tells you to do something that you know is counterproductive to what you want to do is winning, and your job is winning, then you're going to get, you know, so you and your manager are going to have a problem. If your manager tells you to do something, and even if you still did, so even if you still won, which is that process, you know, to what we're talking about, your manager's still going to be pissed at you because you didn't do it how he told you to do it. So,
yeah.
Tibbs went up there with trying to get GM powers, man. It didn't work out. And he has great faith in players, as we, you know what I'm saying, as he brought a lot of his Chicago staff with him, right, in Minnesota. He'll get another chance. He'll definitely get another chance, but I don't think he needs to kind of keep away from the general manager positions.
If you're Kevin Pritchard, do you go after Chandler Parsons now that he is a free agent? Or does he end up in L.A. with LeBron?
He's probably got – if he's in shape, he could maybe potentially end up in L.A. I mean, they needed, you know, something, a shooter. I mean, you know what I mean, because I know Kuzma's in and out of the lineup. And we know Ball can't pray into the ocean. So they could use a shooter if you know what I'm saying. And he's got limited time. He's injured, injury prone. So like, why would it be the risk? Go out there and try to, you know, Bill Walton it up. Why not?
Okay. Other notes from the college ranks. Even looking for football. Warren Central wide receiver David Bell, known as the number one player in the state of Indiana this year, played the All-American game this weekend, announced that he is going to Purdue. Joining Jeff Brohm, committed to Purdue. It'll be him and Rondale Moore on the outside. So I'm telling you, this Purdue getting tougher, even though they look like shit against Auburn.
Well, he bet. Like, man, that's from a PR standpoint, that's good, man. Interesting kid. You know what I'm saying? Good enough, staying in state and going up, choosing Purdue, which is, we're not going to say Purdue's got the best program in the state, but, you know, it's a great story. But Brown's got a lot to prove. He's got to get some dubs behind for sure next
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of Purdue, it was announced last week. It was the day after our radio show on the 2nd. Tyler Trent did pass away, so thoughts and prayers to his family, the Purdue family, and such. I've seen a lot of great things said, not just from the people around here, around Indiana, but nationally. A lot of great things were said for cancer research, for the way Tyler lived his life and stuff, so mad respect for the Trent family. I actually found out some of his family lives from the hometown where I'm from. So found that out back home over Christmas break. So that was kind of interesting to hear. But thoughts and prayers to Tyler Trent's family. And Tyler Trent, keep an eye, boiler up, hammer down.
Absolutely.
John, two things. All right, we're going to go for everybody that doesn't like WWE. You can leave the show now.
Oh, everybody knows who Mean Gene is, though, man. They
should. Oh, yeah. Well, I hope so. So we're going to start off this with Mean Gene Okerlund. R.I.P. Mean Gene. John, I hate doing this every time with you, man. It's happening too often with our guys. But the best commentator and could tell a story.
Yeah, it's not like the tragedy. I mean, Mean Gene's old guy, and, you know, we all got to go. You want to go out, you know what I mean, that's the way you want to go out, old, right, and be surrounded by your family, right, your loved ones. But you can't tell the story of wrestling without Mean Gene Okerlund. Of course, you got the wrestlers who wrestle, and the Hulk Hogan's of the world, and Ric Flair's of the world. Well, lo and behold, the man who usually was, like, interviewing them or, you know, right, helping them, you know, put on the show, right, because that's what wrestling is, a show, partly that happens in the ring, partly that happens outside of the ring, hyping up what happens in the ring. Well, part of the show is the guy asking the questions or the guy interacting with the wrestler. And whether it was the AWA, the WCW, the WWE, or the WWF, which is now what we now know it to be, he was the guy. And he added to the show. To the point that, you know, nobody goofed on Mean Gene. You know what I'm saying? A lot of guys, like The Rock, would come out there and put towels over guys' heads, and that was, like, disrespectful, right? Tell them hold the mic and, you know what I'm saying, grab the mic from them, you know what I mean? And they would become props at that point. But nobody ever, it was like, dude, you want to interact with Mean Gene. He's here to help you get over. And that's what, you know, because everybody, guys, that's ultimately what you want to do is get over so that you ain't wrestling, you know what I'm saying, the conquistadors in match number one. And or have to put over somebody, you know what I mean? You know, basically being a jobber. But, like, once you get a shot with Mean Gene, like, you want to get over. He's here to help you get over. And, like, man, he that skits with Hulk Hogan that I posted on my YouTube. That I posted from YouTube. He had, you know, great bits with Owen Hart. He had great bits with Ric Flair. Great bits with any wrestler you can name, Kurt Hennig, him and Bobby Heenan, hilarious together.
Wherever that Saturday morning show was with Monsoon, Okerlund, and Heenan together, that was hilarious, boys. And then also Lord Alfred Hayes.
Right. But that's what Mean Gene is. He's the guy that holds the mic and, you know, does intros. And like I said, help wrestlers get over.
Yeah, Madras. Like I said, it wasn't a surprise, but sad to see him go. I'll be interested tonight to see what Hulk Hogan has to say about him. Seeing online a lot of mixed reactions about Hogan being there tonight, which I think people need to just. People are not over the situation, and it's everybody's choice. If they want to be over it, they want to forgive. If they don't want to forgive, that's your right, your choice. Absolutely.
Right.
But I think Hulk Hogan does Mean Gene Okerlund a right to be able to tell that story a little bit tonight.
I absolutely believe what you just said 100%. And I, you know, if it was even over Ric Flair, and Ric Flair goes crazy for Mean Gene. Me, by God, Gene.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, Hulk Hogan and Gene Okerlund, like this man, we all know. If you don't know, I get it. People know different factions of champions, and Shawn Michaels and John Cena and Batista when they had that run of Undertaker. But let's be honest, when they became the WWF and it became Big Mega, it was because of Hulk Hogan and Bobby Heenan and Mean Gene and that crew. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
They made Vince McMahon from being, they took him from being over, like, you know what I'm saying, jumping off to your screen, from having one show on Saturday morning to having a show on Saturday morning, a cartoon on Saturday morning, a Monday night show, you know what I'm saying, a Tuesday night show.
Uh-huh.
But those are the guys who helped him make him a billionaire. So yeah, it'll be great to see what Hulk Hogan's got for Mean Gene.
Yeah, and then Flair is rumored to be there this evening. You've got Braun Strowman back. You've got Brock Lesnar. You've got the McMahon. Helmsley is going to be there tonight. Everybody. They're pulling out all stops and the NXT call-ups. I've seen rumors that some of the NXT call-ups that are supposed to be shaking it up will be there tonight. So, should be a great show, John. I know you got to keep an eye on it. You have
it's
to keep an eye on it.
This is the only time I'm going to watch. And all with even with the Mean Gene tribute, if Vince McMahon doesn't get in Brock Lesnar's face, that's what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen.
Well, McMahon will die if that happens. It ain't the old McMahon. Now, the old McMahon, you're not going to watch the Royal Rumble?
No.
John, no. John.
Take the title off Brock Lesnar. Take the title off Brock Lesnar and I'll watch.
What if they do it that night?
Man.
You're telling me, that Sunday you're going
to
be sitting there about 6:55 p.m.
I'll check the results. I will check the results.
And then you're going to be on Twitter, and then all of a sudden you're going to see a little thing at 7:01 p.m. You're going to hear this. You're going to hear this part right here. Now, if you don't have Vince McMahon,
they don't believe in Braun Strowman like that, man.
Boy, if you don't have, if that doesn't get you pumped right there, listening to that, and that was from 92 Rumble right there, but that was back in the day, John, when you hear Vince McMahon with that voice getting into it.
Braun Strowman,
I need you to look past Brock Lesnar. I need you to look past Brock Lesnar. The WWE is not about Brock Lesnar. Okay, the WWE. Okay, so why are you sabotaging yourself watching the great product because of one man and his whatever?
Well, nothing against Roman Reigns. He ain't the guy either.
Well, I didn't say Roman Reigns. No, is it AJ? Is it the face that runs the place? I mean, Kenny Omega might be showing up to WWE here shortly. I mean, there's
Omega, he took his release from New Japan. So yeah, it's time for him to come over.
What's your thoughts on the All Elite?
Dude, they seemingly trying to sell something to Vince McMahon that he ain't that interested in buying right now.
second best wrestling brand right now is NXT.
Right, right. He has his own second best wrestling company.
Yeah.
So at some point he'll bring back all those guys. End up working for Vince, and anybody else, including Cody Reynolds, will come back at some point.
He calls him Cody Reynolds.
Yeah.
But come on, John. This song, this music right here, it doesn't get you hyped.
No. No, man.
By the way.
I'm surprised
I stumped you last night with the Owen Hart winning the WWE champion or WWF championship.
You know, WWE is terrible at erasing people's championships, man, because they did the same thing to Marv Jannetty and Shawn Michaels when they were the Rockers. They won the title from the Hart Foundation on a non-tape situation or whatever, right? It wasn't at a house show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was at a regular house show, but it wasn't taped. So the next day, they nullified the win.
See, it's interesting how they do that because Owen Hart won his title in 1994 from Bret Hart, the year he won the King of the Ring, and then they fought at SummerSlam. 1992, the Royal Rumble I was watching last night, I was telling you about, the week before the Royal Rumble, Roddy Piper the Mountie won the Intercontinental title at a house show against Bret Hart. So then it was the Mountie versus Piper for the title. But they recognized that one at a house show. But 2 years later, they don't recognize Owen Hart winning the WWF championship. I don't get it.
I think that was to get – I want to say that one – that was to get the title off of Bret so they could put him on the world title.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Well, I mean, Brett was. Well, Brett got the title back in 90 at Survivor or WrestleMania at the Hoosier Dome.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. You did bring up something interesting. So you asked me like why Roddy Piper didn't have a whole lot of title runs. Roddy Piper's job was to be the bad guy. And during the '80s, Vince, again, another guy who Vince always probably owes, they both need one another or benefited from one another. Even though, you know, Roddy Piper built up a reputation in the indies before he comes to the WWF. But Roddy Piper, it didn't matter. He's the bad guy. Like, he's the ultimate, almost always getting whoever you wanted him to have a problem with. Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, the Junkyard Dog, Jimmy Snuka, who he cracked over the head with a coconut. and then, you know, sometimes he played the face when he went to WCW, you know, or sometimes he even played the face when he came back from, because he did a stint in Hollywood, right? With a bunch
right.
of movies. But he played the face. But earlier on in his career, it was about him being the bad guy. And he was the best bad guy Vince ever had. So Vince wasn't great. Vince wasn't really high on putting titles on bad guys. It's, you know what I mean? The good guy, during that time, he wanted good guys to win. Dominate.
Right.
Babyface to dominate. You know, that's why you got Hulk Hogan for, you know, 8-plus years as world champ.
I've got two hard-hitting questions for you within WWE.
Okay.
Number one, why do you hate Bret Hart as much as you do? The fact the man is what the man's got a record of 280 wins and 85 losses. That's a 79% winning percentage. The man has won multiple titles, a Royal Rumble, a King of the Ring. Why do you hate Bret Hart?
I don't hate Bret Hart. Matter of fact, I love it. It's crazy, Brandon. I'm glad that's an interesting question. I love everybody out of his family tree of wrestlers. Him and his family are responsible for the Flying Brian Pillmans of the world. They are responsible for the British Bulldogs of the world. They're responsible, like, they all Jim Neidhart. They all, you know what I'm saying, they all trained up together through the Hart family legend.
Uh-huh.
There's Chris Jericho, who's ultimately everybody's, well, should be on everybody's top 10. Of the greatest wrestler of all time. I know. He should be if he ain't. It's interesting is that he just came off sometimes during his commentary. Now, in ring, he's up there with likes, of course. There's nobody that can wrestle a better match than Bret Hart. You know what I mean? But his persona was just bland, man. It really was, dude. He said something that the cockiest thing he ever said was, "I'm the best there is, the best there was." But, like, when you got Slick Rick on the other channel talking about it's hard keeping these gators down, or when you got Hulk
right.
Hogan or Eric before, who body slammed Andre the Giant, or hip tossing, whatever you want to call it, right? You know what I'm saying? Or you got Sting, who flying off the top of the ring, got face paint on, and he's acting like a wild man. Bret Hart, like his persona, his in-ring persona, it's a little bland, man. Compared to that. Now, in-ring style, dude, he's just like Dean Malenko. He's just like Mr. Perfect. Them dudes can wrestle. Like, I really think they can wrestle. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the Greco-Roman type style. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they, you know, and they never really hurt anybody. I don't believe anybody in the ring. So I respect that aspect of his career, but nah, man, he's not. Part of like the entertainment factor of wrestling for me is that what you can do in the ring, and what your persona brings to the show. And his persona was like a D level. His wrestling was A level, so that gives him a C. He's average.
Oof, damn! Like I said, all right. Second question. And just because I've been seeing a lot on Twitter today, and then I've been reading the articles about with Hulk Hogan coming back. Yes, he came back for the Saudi event, but this is the first live television return of Hulk Hogan. With the stuff that's gone on with Hulk Hogan, with the sex tape, the old sex tape with Bubba Love Sponge. With that going on, with the Hulk Hogan racial language he used prior, whether he was taped, knowing he was taped, knowing he wasn't, as a member of that community, what is your reaction with Hulk Hogan? And I'm just curious, because I've seen a lot of different talk about it today, and I'm just curious on your behalf of what your thoughts are.
You know, Chad, I was disappointed in Hulk Hogan when it first happened. But you have to understand, man, my father told me the first day I start watching anything on TV, and wrestling would happen to be on, so the first thing, that is not real, okay? And it wasn't to disparage the wrestling business or the show. It was the fact that, remind you, these people are they put on an act to entertain.
Right.
So you have to separate Hulk Hogan from Terry Bollea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Terry Bollea said some bigoted things, you know what I'm saying, Tate, about whoever his daughter, he thought his daughter should have been dating, okay? Now, here's the crazy thing about it. Hulk Hogan, the character, epitomized everything he wanted about to be like a superhero to be. He said
right.
All the right things. He said, set your prayers, eat your vitamins, and try to live good. Be a Hulkamaniac. Right? So
yep.
We all know that is something that he and the WWE kind of created, you know what I mean? But he is driven. So it's some good to what he puts out there. So, you know, what are you supposed to do? So, Brandon, I'm a Christian. I don't throw in nobody's face, but I'm a Christian, and you're supposed to forgive. So I ain't going to ever forget it. I just put it to you like that, because I am still black.
Right.
Honest with you. But I'm just being honest with you. I forgive him, you know what I'm saying, for saying it, but I ain't going to ever forget it. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, Hulk Hogan's one of my favorites. He just is.
Yep.
But so you forgive it, and we have to move on, and then hopefully, he got time. He got time to make up for his mistake, because there's no way he could be a bad. There's no way he could be a bigot or with the freaking Ku Klux Klan, and he had to help put guys over, and guys had to help him put over there from different backgrounds, black,
right.
White, you know, so forth. So, again, I forgive him, and now we got to move on, because that's what Christians got to do.
Okay,
that's what we.
Perfect. Okay, yeah, I was curious kind of what your take was on it, and I think you explained it very well there. And the biggest thing, I think, and I didn't think about it till you said it, is you have to separate Hulk Hogan from Terry Bollea. Terry Bollea had some issues and had some, you know, a sign of weakness,
right.
that he says right. those things that he wasn't supposed to say, but... With Hulk Hogan's done everything right that you could picture and that you want. So,
correct.
Yeah. So I think you said it very well there. I think you said it beautifully. And I think some of our listeners who may have had that idea, that question, or did not have that question, they know now more of it, a little bit about it. So, which is good. Which brings me to my final thing. We got 3 minutes left.
Okay.
Captain Marvel, the preview, will be airing tonight during the national championship game. Thoughts?
Well, I'm going to probably mark out when I see it, man. I'll be looking for clues. Because I like to try to – I know I'm one of those people, man. I try to figure it out. Even though I've read every comic book from 1982 and seemingly every comic book spoiler now, I try to figure these movies out while I'm watching them, and very rarely – I don't get disappointed. I just like how it plays out, like how the director and how the studio and how these actors make it all play out. I'm looking forward to it. I'll watch it on TV, and then I get on my phone, and you know, like there's a bunch of nerd sites. Sorry, for lack of a better word, there's a bunch of nerd sites where they get a little more anticipated, and they actually record it, and then they go frame by frame by frame by frame, looking for
okay.
Easter eggs and spoilers. So, I follow them as hell. So, I guess I'm just as big as nerds they are.
okay. Well, keep an eye on Jonathan Birdsong tonight at Three Foolish Men on Twitter. He'll probably give you his reaction to the Marvel trailer,
right.
as well as the football game and myself as well. But don't text him or don't tweet him after 11:30, folks, because that old man goes to bed early. So,
right.
I sent you ones last night. I said he's already in bed.
Oh, no, I stayed up a little. After the game went off, I was done.
So, all right, any last things from you, John?
No, man. I thank everybody for listening once again. Clemson's going to win tonight.
Roll, Tide, roll, baby. And we'll be at you guys next week. John, thanks for joining us again. Everybody have a great week. Enjoy the national championship tonight.
All right. Take care.
See you, buddy.
Crossroads Sports.